This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening in Russia right here on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervy, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am right here in the beautiful studios in Culver City of KABC to be the managing partner of your life. And I have some assistants with me today. I can't manage your life all by myself. I have the beautiful and talented and intelligent Carrie Kasem sitting right across from me in this dungeon.
I'm like your legal secretary on the
show. No, you're not. You don't know what my legal secretary does at my office, and you definitely don't do what she does.
Probably don't.
Not at all.
I'm your on-air legal secretary.
On-air, right. Carrie, how are you doing, by the way? I haven't seen you for a while.
I know. I'm good. Good. Everything's good.
You look
busy.
Great.
Thank you. So you.
And sitting next to you is none other than Simon Conway.
Yay.
It is such a pleasure, Simon, to have you back at Gervy's Law. Simon, of course, is the afternoon drive host at WHO Radio in Des Moines, Iowa, which is 60 degrees today and sunny versus the rain here in L.A. Simon, welcome back to Gervy's Law.
Thank you very much. It's actually 66 degrees and sunny in Des Moines, Iowa.
That's
in
ridiculous.
February. It is crazy.
It was 73 yesterday.
Yep. It's crazy that it's so warm.
It is.
And we had an awful day here in L.A., but tomorrow we're hoping it's going to be really great because it is my daughter Harper's third birthday tomorrow.
Yay.
Happy birthday, Harper.
Happy
3 years
Harper.
Old. And we are having horses at the house, ponies and farm animals and all kinds of fun. We've got a barn thing happening.
That's awesome.
So hopefully it won't be rainy. It will be really beautiful for Harper. And today we have a great show. My mom is here. It's her last show until she goes back to Toronto. So we'll hear from her later in the show when we talk about the Academy Awards because she has some choice words to talk about the movies this year. And every year, Carrie, isn't it true that we talk about the Academy Awards? We give our own predictions. And this year, we're fortunate to have with us Kevin Lincoln,
yes.
who is a movie critic, and he's going to help us. He's with New York Magazine and Vulture.com, and he's going to help us with our predictions.
And I think the last few years that we predicted, we got
absolutely.
I think it was the movie of the year, right?
Correct? 93% of our predictions are true. Okay. So now I want to introduce, this is really important though, Carrie and Simon, because we are going to be a little bit serious for a minute because that's what we do here. We are a legal show. And by the way, you can visit us at Facebook or you can call us right here at 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. We are welcoming to Gervy's Law, Bob Baer. And a lot of people know who Bob Baer is. Of course, he's an author and a former CIA case officer. He is Time Magazine's intelligence columnist, and he's contributed to a number of fine publications such as Vanity Fair, The Wall Street Journal, and The Washington Post. He is currently the host of the History Channel, Hunting Hitler. Welcome to Gervy's Law, Bob Baer.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And now, how's the weather? Are you in Colorado right now?
Yes, in Telluride. I live here.
Telluride. Is it snowing? Is it balmy? What's it like in Telluride today?
You know, it's been a bit warm. We're getting California weather. It's supposed to snow tonight, like 100%. We have a lot of snow anyhow, but it's gorgeous skiing.
Well, I hope it remains that way. We're not going to Telluride, but in a couple of weeks I'll be in Aspen. So I hope that we're going to have some skiing because in March sometimes gets a little warm and the conditions aren't that good. But we're not here to talk about skiing. We want to talk about some more important stuff. Bob, you are an expert. You tell us, because a lot of people want to know, was this presidential election hacked?
An expert, I'm not sure. Opinionated, yes.
Nice distinction.
When you have 17 intelligence agencies saying it was hacked. I mean, you can't get them all on board. you can get one to come up with an opinion that no one else shares, and you don't know. But then you got L-17, and including the FBI, and the FBI hates these sort of domestic political things. There's a standing order at the FBI to avoid collecting intelligence on the election. They simply do not want to get in the middle of this.
Well, it seems like it's a messy business, Bob, but as a lawyer, we always have to see the evidence, even though there are a lot of reputable people who have said one thing or another. We have a reputable person sitting right here. In fact, he has interviewed Donald Trump 16 times. I think it's a record. Simon, can you address Bob with these issues of the espionage and the intelligence behind not only the election, but what's going on right now?
Of course. Bob, first of all, I love Hunting Hitler, so great job there. I look forward to seeing the next episode when that comes on. But the thing is, when you say hacked, no one is saying the election machines were hacked. What they're still talking about is the fact that somebody, and I still am yet to be convinced it was the Russians, broke into the DNC because they had really lousy security. I mean, John Podesta's password was password. they got into the emails and revealed what the Democrat Party were. And the chances of it being actually the Russians are very, very small. I'm not sure if you know who Greg Hausch is, but Greg Hausch is effectively the founder of Anonymous. The reason he is not anonymous is because somebody spent $17 million trying to expose him. But I've interviewed Greg Hausch, and Greg Hausch says if you are a hacker, job one is to prove you didn't do it from Culver City, California, and so you make it look like it came from Russia or China or North Korea. No one is suggesting that our election machines were hacked. This is about the DNC.
Exactly. Well, what they're saying, here's what the intelligence agency are saying, is that it was a code that was identifiable as Russian. Yeah. They also look at the metadata.
Yeah, there was some Cyrillic in it. That's what hackers do. They leave things.
And reuse. So, you know, did our 17 intelligence agencies absolutely wrong?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the use of the word hacked is incorrect. That's number one, because they broke into the DNC's emails, not our election machines, and they exposed the Democrats for what the Democrats actually are. That's number one. And number two, why are we all bent out of shape on this? You know, according to Carnegie Mellon University, we, the United States, we've attempted to influence no fewer than 81 foreign elections between 1946 and 2000. 81. That doesn't include, by the way, military coups, regime change efforts. It doesn't include any of that. It doesn't include Obama sending his operatives out to Jerusalem to try and make sure Bibi Netanyahu wasn't re-elected. It doesn't include the fact that Obama tapped Angela Merkel's phone. I mean, we do this stuff all the time.
Well, it's, you know, as we as a country have to decide whether this is okay or not. I mean, the Russians, should they pay a price for this, or do we just ignore it and let every election go? And as far as the word hacking is, I know not a technical term, but they did get into his emails. It doesn't matter whether they were, it's illegal to do. And this is what the intelligence agencies call covert action. And the Russians, according to the United States government, including Trump, said it was probably the Russians.
Yeah, probably it is, and it probably was. But that's not the point. It's not a hacking. We got to use the right language.
When
you say hacked, when people say hacked, we think about, oh, they got into our election machines and changed the result.
And that's exactly, I have to say, you know, just being
on the outside. I don't think that's the word using intelligence agencies. That's,
the media.
They hacked into the emails.
The media, yeah.
Right,
the
media.
Any damage.
Fake news.
Also, the intelligence agency. I worked 21 years in the CIA, and please don't correct me on that. It's just, it's sort of silly. That's the word they use.
Mm-hmm.
They did. And, you know, they launched a covert action. Whether it had any effect or not, or whether it will, is, you know, we'll wait to see. But do you just say, all right, let's let it go? I'm frankly with McCain. You need a full investigation on this, and it's got to be an open investigation.
Bob, in the meantime, I was just going to say in the meantime, because you're right, it needs to be an open investigation. It's not going to happen so quickly. It's going to be pretty complex with a lot of different moving parts. But what are we looking at in the present with respect to the intelligence situation? A lot of people saying that U.S. spies are keeping intelligence from the president, and there's all kinds of misstatements out there. From your perspective, as a 21-year CIA officer, what's really going on in our intelligence community?
Well, something not very good. And I'm neutral on this politically. The transcripts of Flynn's conversation with the Russian ambassador are classified top secret. Even a summary of that conversation is top secret. So somebody committed a felony by leaking that to the press. And Trump has every right to go after him. And not only that, this was not widely disseminated. When you pick up an American on a phone with the Russian ambassador, it's disseminated as a U.S. person, not identified as Flynn. So this was done at the very top. And, you know, it really doesn't matter whether Trump reacted, you know, to Flynn's conversation with the Russian, too late. Doesn't really matter. The point is that the White House is at war with a faction in the intelligence agency, which I've never seen these kind of wars ever come out well. I mean, just the fact that you've got the Russian ambassador's phone, whether it's a landline or cell, listening to it, it's sort of obvious it was. But to come out and admit that, this does not serve our national interests.
Should someone go to jail, Bob?
For leaking that, absolutely.
Should we throw away the key?
I think you should get 20 years. The whole idea of this, it goes back to Pearl Harbor, is we depend upon intercepts. And they should not be out. And that I'm calling about Julian Assange and Snowden. I mean, once you go down that slippery slope of having individuals decide what is leaked, you destroy the intelligence community. And I think that's just a fact we got to deal with.
So how do you clean house? How do you clean house in the CIA?
Well, I think that's what they're going to do, clean house. I mean, look, the CIA is broken. It does not. It's been enlisted in the war on terror. It calls in drone strikes. It does not collect intelligence in the traditional sense of recruiting sources. I talked to the Trump people and they said we're going to take it down from the top. Whether they do it right or not, we'll have to wait and see. But it is broken.
How do they do it right, Bob? I know you got to go, but we want to know, how do they do it right? How do we fix this situation?
How do you fix the situation? You have to deal honestly with it. And you know, I'm gonna bring in a footnote to this. And this is the 9/11 investigation. It's clear to everybody who's seen the intelligence. I talk to them a lot. That Saudi Arabia, some officials were involved in this. We just never looked into it. We do not have the clarity on any of this stuff. Intelligence is so politicized. You know, I would take the intelligence agency and move it to Des Moines and let it have no contact.
I actually said
with the
that.
And, I'm serious.
I am too.
You're both agreeing on this.
Yeah, of course we are, because we're right.
I have a question. It's kind of a bit different, but I want to know what you would do with the refugee issue. What should go on in your eyes?
Well, here's the problem, and I have this from people at the border, is that you've got people showing up at the Mexican border with no documentation. They know what the deal is. They say, "Listen, I'm from India. I'm a Christian. I'm afraid to go back." And they are absolutely required to let them across the border and put them into the system, which just means basically freedom once you get in. We do have a refugee problem. Now, how we address it intelligently, I don't know. I used to do visa work. And I am here to tell you that our visa system at the State Department and Immigration is a mess. It needs to be fixed.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
And there's no point in going, crazy political on any of this. It's broken.
How would you fix it? What could be
it's
done?
It's not easy.
I know, but I just, what could be done, you know, in the next couple years to fix this problem? It seems like...
Isn't President Trump taking a stand on that now?
He's taking a stand on it, but I don't know, you know, if it's the most popular thing, but I look...
He's not there to be popular.
No, he's not. And my family, half of them are from Lebanon, you know, they're Middle Eastern. And I see that, you know, let some of these people in, don't let some others, but how do you know, and how can you figure out who's going to be, you know, how many people do we let in? Who do we let in? How do we let them in without getting the terrorists in? And that's, to me, my thought. You know, they say what there's 1% of, you know, all Muslims, they say, and this is just what I've read, I could be wrong, are terrorists. But you're looking at, with the Muslim population being over a billion, 15 million terrorists. How do you know? How can you... Who to let in and who not?
Oh, look, this is 15 Saudis that came in, and the guys training on airplanes were all excludable because the fact is they came here and get flight training and they couldn't go back and get jobs. You want to work in Saudi Arabian Airlines, you go in the Air Force. And, yeah. But there's nobody gets commercial training and then works for these airlines. This seems very detailed, but it's fixable. And I happen to support the H-1 visa. You know, bring in the best and the brightest.
As do I. I have to tell you, Bob, I came to this country on an H-1 visa.
That's
the problem, Canadian. And I went, interestingly enough, I went and got my, I now have a green card because I married an American. But I'll tell you, H-1, I'm very thankful for that because it's given me a great opportunity.
I used to give visas, and anybody who was smart and talented, yep.
Yeah, and by the way, I've paid a lot of money to the government, and I think they made a good choice when they gave me the H-1 visa. I know you have to leave, Bob.
I'll agree with you on that note.
I appreciate.
We're in agreement on everything.
We appreciate you coming on Gervie's Law. Is Hunting Hitler still in production? Because I know they've done 2 seasons. Are we going to see another one?
They're going to do season 3, and I've been talking about doing a feature.
Wow, because I know a lot of people, anyone who hasn't seen Hunting Hitler, it's on the History Channel, and Bob is the host. People just rave about it because it's a really interesting program.
And didn't George Clooney play you in a movie? I mean, that's...
Syriana.
That's huge. George Clooney.
Well, it's interesting, Bob, that she says it's huge because I read somewhere that he gained weight for that part, and then you saw that and you said, I'm going to have to slim down because now you're a slim, good-looking guy.
That's what he said, but do you believe Clooney?
I never believed him, not once.
His inner fat man was coming out.
That's what he said. Bob,
that's my part of the story.
Awesome.
And we'll leave it at that. We'd love to have you back on Gervie's Law to talk about this fascinating stuff. I'm sure there will be a lot of interesting stories coming forward in the espionage and intelligence game in the next few months. Enjoy the beautiful weather in Colorado, and thanks for being on Gervie's Law today.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
See you guys. All right. I'm saying goodbye to all of you.
All of what? We're at
Simon, Carrie,
see
my
ya.
Mom.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We have to talk about the Oscars because that's what we do on this show. It is a law show that talks about the Academy Awards. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Kevin Lincoln to talk about the Academy Awards and the Oscar-nominated movies. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on 790 KABC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855 855-4-RGW-LAW, 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Does this sound familiar? You're about to get intimate with someone, and then nothing. You can't do it. Male performance issues are devastating and embarrassing. And who are you going to talk to? Your friends? Your wife? Your dad? So you suffer alone. This is a common story for half of men, but it doesn't have to be. Talk to the Men's Clinic. Men, if you have performance issues, then you need to call the Men's Clinic. They've helped thousands of men just like you, and their treatment is 98% effective, even for men who can't take prescription medications like Viagra or Cialis. You'll receive a personalized blend of FDA-approved medications formulated to treat performance problems, and their medications work in minutes. They're so confident, if you don't see results with the very first treatment, you pay nothing. So one phone call, one very professional visit, and you could be enjoying romance again. Stop suffering. Call now. 800-595-5400. That's 800-595-5400. 800-595-5400.
Are you living with a growing prostate? Do you pee more often than you used to? Do you wake up to go? Be honest. Is there a drop in your romantic life? Prostate problems don't go away on their own, so you need to call for a free bottle of Super Beta Prostate, the number one non-prescription formula for your prostate. The ingredients are natural. With Super Beta Prostate, you'll have less urges to urinate, less waking at night, and an improvement in your romantic life. Try it for free. Pay only shipping and handling. Super Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 Saw Palmetto capsules to get the same active ingredient in just one Super Beta Prostate tablet. Stop running to the bathroom and call us now for your free bottle. Hurry, this free offer won't last. Call 1-800-507-1004. That's 1-800-507-1004. 1-800-507-1004.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What are you doing here?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Coming up on The Next Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, we'll find out if we all washed away in the storm.
What? John, I can't hear you. You talking to me? What? When's the rain?
Rain or shine. Hey, everything's going to be fine. All right.
Live and local right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yes, we are back. And in a week from now, I'm coughing because I'm sick. But I'm going to be all better next week when the Academy Awards are on and we are bumped. Carrie, you know we do our annual Academy Awards show. We've been doing it for 3 years now. Next week, the Kings are on. So you will not be able to listen to Gervey's Law at 2 o'clock next Saturday because you'll be listening to LA Kings hockey right here on the flagship of the LA Kings 790 KBC. So we're going to do our Hollywood prediction show, and we're going to tie it into the law in a very, very flimsy way because it's very hard for us to, especially with the movies this year. Before we do that, though, we have a great cast here as we look to the Academy Awards with my mom sitting to the left, Simon Conway from WHO Radio in front of me, and then we have Kevin Lincoln. Kevin is the senior editor and movies reporter with New York Magazine and Vulture.com, and of course, Carrie Kasem, who always has something to say about the Academy Awards. Before we get to this topic, Simon, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You've been on our show a number of times.
Yes, sir.
You have interviewed Donald Trump many times. In fact, if folks want to go to YouTube, you can find interviews that Simon Conway has done with Donald Trump. Very interesting stuff because Donald Trump comes across as the most sane person in the world if you listen to the interviews that actually Simon does with him. Other people would say he is not the most sane person in the world. Tell us, Simon, after 2 months of his presidency, what is your perspective on how he has done?
Well, first of all, he's not been in office a month, okay? He was sworn in January the 20th.
Wait, what date is this?
Right. He was sworn in January the 20th.
It seems like it's been forever.
So much fun, though. You're having so much fun.
I don't know about that.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what he's still doing and what the media still don't get is he's directing the narrative. They are talking about what he wants them to talk about. He holds an hour, 20-minute press conference. He spends a big chunk of it attacking them. What are they talking about? How dare he attack us?
Right.
He's driving the narrative. It's like they have this complete inability to learn what he has done to them and why he won.
But what about the country? I understand that dynamic, and yeah. I don't disagree with you. Mm. But what about those of us who are more concerned about what's going on in this country?
Well, you've seen a whole bunch of companies say we're going to create jobs, keep jobs. That's happened. He's picking up the phone. He's gradually getting his cabinet. I think this is incredibly slow. I have no problem saying this because I said it 8 years ago when President Obama first came to office. It is ridiculous that we, the people, elect a president, and the president that we elect cannot pick his advisors. It's ridiculous that we have to go through this charade every time, and it depends on who's got more power and who wants to spoil it. So
the stock market has done great.
The stock market has done absolutely wonderful. I don't know. I mean, I think it's got off really well. If you can get through the noise, there's actually some good stuff happening. Our allies seem to be very happy. Businesses seem to be very happy. They come out of meetings with the president. CEOs come out and they're blown away. So they seem very happy.
The liberals don't seem to be very happy.
They really need a pony. Maybe you should invite them to Harper's birthday party tomorrow. The whiny crybaby liberals need to go pet a pony, and you'll have one in your backyard.
I'll say there's a lot of liberals, actually, that I know that actually have their heads screwed on right. And,
yeah.
You know, they may not be happy with the choice, but they're not filled with anger and
That's
vitriol.
Good.
And I honestly, I'm ashamed of some of my liberal friends. I have to say, you don't have to like somebody, and you can write that. It's free speech. Go ahead. But the hate and the BS that is spewed all over the internet and with people, and I just need to say something for the liberals listening that do this on Facebook. Shame on you. Second of all, please learn how this country works. We have a Congress. We don't have this. Isn't totalitarianism? That's not how this country works. And we don't have a Hitler. So please. Please, so you don't look like a fool anymore, do your research. Find out how you get bills passed. Find out how the checks and balances
and you know
work.
How we get bills passed because you've been doing it for the last year. What did I say on our way here? We were driving here and there's a car, and in the back of the car is a big sign, "Not my president." And I turned to my mom and I said, "Wait a second. So this guy isn't from this country because he actually is the president. You may not have voted for him, but he is the president." Yeah, Didn't I say that?
That's true.
It's just ridiculous what's going on. You know, we didn't see when Obama won, you didn't see the Republicans acting like this. You didn't see the riots. You didn't see people beating each other up. It's just, unfortunately, I think this country is so ignorant when it comes to politics and what really goes on and how it works. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, doesn't matter. Independent, doesn't matter. Learn how this country works.
Now I know why you're friends with Simon.
We have a very undereducated and ill-informed electorate.
That's right.
It is very, very sad. You know how you make it better almost overnight? Almost overnight.
How's that?
You take all the R's and all the D's off every ballot in the nation.
That's right.
You make people figure out who it is they're voting for. As soon as you remove the R and the D designation after a person's name on the ballot, people, if they want to go vote, they have to figure out who they are.
And let me add one more thing to that, Simon, because you are so right. We're a Republican.
We are based on a Republican.
Not Republican. Republic. We are a republic here. We are not supposed to have parties. This country was not based on parties, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done with adding the parties is really destroy what this nation was founded on and why we are such an incredible
country. They're equally
country.
Responsible, by the way.
Yes.
Both parties, equally responsible.
Well, all I have to say is you both have to get a little dose of reality. There are politics in this country. There are different perspectives in this country. There are different parties in this country, including a Republican Party and a Democrat Party.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying. The theory is great because I'm really into legal theory and the rule of law, but the reality and the practicality of what we live here in this country and what we are doing is just what we are seeing played out by the people. Doesn't mean they're right, doesn't mean they're wrong, but it's something that we have to be able to understand and hopefully move forward. Last question on this, Simon, before we move on. Do you think Trump can withstand all of the criticism and all of the controversy as we move forward?
I don't think he cares.
I know he doesn't care.
He's holding a big old rally in Florida today. 20,000 people will show up, and he'll say what he wants to say to them. He will get the reaction that he wants to get from
them.
So
you don't think that there may be... I know he doesn't care. That's not the point, because he's proven that. I thought he might have cared, but he's shown that he doesn't. The point, though, is will he withstand potential legal action, potential impeachment, may I say that, with controversy and all of these issues, will he withstand it for 4 years?
Put impeachment out of your head. There aren't enough votes right now. You maybe in 2 years after
right
the midterms, there might be. I doubt it even then. Certainly there aren't for 2 years. So you can put that out of your head immediately. In terms of legal challenges, you've got to watch these activist courts. You know, the Ninth Circuit we call it the Ninth Circus.
Yeah.
It's such a joke. It really is a joke to try and suggest that the President of the United States does not have the authority to determine who comes in means people are not reading the statutes that were quoted in the executive order. One signed by President Obama, the other signed by President Jimmy Carter. Those are the statutes he used for the executive order. He absolutely, positively has the authority to do what he did. To call it a Muslim ban is an out-and-out lie when it doesn't cover 85% of the Muslims in the world who are all entitled to come in here. It's a joke what they're doing. And what it's really highlighted for me...
In other words, what you're saying is the people who are working with Trump are doing their homework and are actually providing more intelligence than he may be providing.
I think they're getting it right, but I think when you've got an activist court, what it's really exposed to me is that we really need to look at our judicial system, because we do have activist judges all over the country. I say all the time, and I know you want to move on, the Supreme Court justice gig should be the easiest gig in the country, because you take whatever issue it is and you're supposed to hold it up next to the Constitution and see if it stands up. That's the gig.
Totally unrealistic. I don't want to debate
you
on this.
That's why you don't have to be a lawyer.
The only reason it's the easiest gig possible is because it's a political appointment and most of them will be providing opinions based on politics. That's why it's easy.
It shouldn't be.
Not because it has anything to do with the Constitution.
The pure
gig. We need to move on.
I know, but the pure gig shouldn't be that. That's my point. If you do the gig the way it is supposed to be, it is easy. And I agree, it shouldn't be political appointees ever. I know you want to move on. And that's why you don't have to be a lawyer to be a Supreme Court justice, by the way.
That may be true.
It is true.
Kevin Lincoln, you're smiling here. He was told to come to the studio to talk about the Oscars.
Hacksaw Ridge, let's talk about
it. He's in the middle of this debate. Kevin, welcome to Gurry's Law.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Let's talk a little bit about the films that are nominated for the Best Picture. We have Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. Who's going to win?
I think right now the odds-on favorite is La La Land.
Ugh.
It's not a guarantee, but La La Land has won most of the big awards, the Early Guild Awards, and they did really well at BAFTA, which is the British equivalent of the Oscars, and has made the only movie that's made more money than La La Land that was nominated for Best Picture is Hidden Figures. And so it's the odds-on favorite. It's not a guarantee. There have been upsets in the past, probably if it were to get upset. Right now, it actually looks like Hidden Figures would have the best chance of beating out La La Land.
Is that your pick for the dark horse?
I would say it's a good pick for the dark horse. The other two options are Moonlight and Manchester by the Sea. I think Moonlight for a while was the other sort of potential challenger to La La Land. And
right.
I still think that Moonlight's been in the game a little longer, and so might have a better chance than Hidden Figures. But It's going to be one of those three movies, probably.
Not Manchester by the Sea. That will not do it.
Not at this point. Probably.
Carrie.
I just have to say something. I'm probably going to be hated. Like, did anybody watch Saturday Night Live where they brought in the guy to the police station? Yeah, okay.
Was that Alec Baldwin playing Trump?
No. You mean every Saturday night? No, this was the one where they bring this guy into the police station, they slam him down in a chair, and they're yelling at him, like, what's going on? What's really happening? Well, he said he didn't really enjoy La La Land.
That's hilarious. That is funny. You know, I got to turn to my mom, though, because we're going to take a quick break. But before we do, Mom, come up to the mic, because you have some very strong opinions about La La Land, and I want to hear about them.
I do? Yeah, well, I didn't enjoy it that much.
High five.
You hated
it. All the way across the room. High five.
Okay, but tell us why you hated it.
I forget.
Can I tell you why she hated it?
No,
because
I want to hear why.
Because when you do a musical, it should be people that can actually sing and people that can actually dance. Like Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers.
That's what I was going to say.
Thank you.
It's not like the old American in Paris and the Easter Parade. These people, I mean, I figured they couldn't dance.
No.
It was not really entertaining. I thought it was silly. I thought they should take dance lessons.
It was, to me, embarrassing. And look, I know that people love, and I love Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone in other things.
Yeah.
But to put two people that can't sing and dance into something
where
it's like, wait a second. We have probably a million people in Hollywood that could have done that role better.
I don't know about that. But going back to the golden age of Hollywood, Mom, who are the people that you...
I mean, when you saw Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers.
Yes.
And
Debbie Reynolds, Art Carney.
Gene Kelly
was wonderful. American in Paris.
Yes.
I mean, you sat there and you enjoyed it. I sat in La La Land and I laughed.
Mickey Rooney.
Laughed in La La Land. We're going to leave it at that. We got to take a quick break as she laughed in La La Land. I fell asleep, but I'm not a romantic, so my wife enjoyed it. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk a lot more about the Oscars after this message. You're listening to Gervais Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hey there, what's the frequency?
790.
And the letters?
KABC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
At Twinings of London, we have black, green, and herbal teas that are perfect for any mood. There's jasmine green if you're feeling rushed. Lemon and ginger if you're worn down. Or berry fusion if you're feeling wild. No matter what flavor you pick, it's crafted with 300 years of expertise for the perfect balance of taste, flavor, and aroma. You have to like the sound of that. Twinings of London. Teas that fit your every mood. Find your new favorite at Vons.
Pechanga Resort and Casino is now America's number one casino. That's right. USA Today readers voted Pechanga the best casino in the U.S. Pechanga has it all. The most slots, the biggest jackpots, a four-diamond resort, and the hottest nightlife and comedy. Experience it all at Pechanga, the number one casino in America for a reason. Book your Pechanga experience today at Pechanga.com. Just off the 15 freeway in Temecula.
Wake up! With Doug McIntyre in the morning.
I cannot believe that people are seriously blubbering about the cost of the border wall. Not in the state of California. We have no moral authority to blubber about spending $14 or $15 billion on a border wall, considering we've got a governor that wants to spend $68 billion to build a train from Fresno to Bakersfield. $68 billion!
All aboard!
McIntyre in the morning.
5 to 10 on KABC.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervie's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie.
Yes, we're back. And this is a legal show. For those of you tuning in, Gervie's Law, I know you've heard people like Jerry Spence and Alan Dershowitz. And you've heard Chris Darden, Effley Bailey on this show. Well, we've got an amazing cast of characters today. We've brought in the big guns for our Oscar show. We have Evelyn Gervie, not Effley Bailey. We have Simon Conway, not Jerry Spence. We have Kevin Lincoln, not Chris Darden. And we have Carrie Kasem, not Christiane Amanpour, who we had on the show a few weeks ago.
And you did it, once again, another show booked without me.
Without you.
Yes.
Well, I was afraid you would cause her to hang up.
Yeah, that's true.
Kevin Lincoln is still here. He threatened to walk out because we talked about La La Land, which will win the Oscar for Best Picture.
How dare you?
And we just trashed it. My mother said that it had no business being part of the Best Picture movie because it was really not much of a salute to the golden age of beautiful movie musicals.
And I agree with her. I'm sorry.
You do. Well, I do.
They're going to surprise everybody. It's going to be Hacksaw Ridge.
Hacksaw Ridge? Yeah. Kevin? No way.
It will not be Hacksaw
Thank
Ridge.
Thank you.
Okay.
But that would be very interesting.
Did you like Hacksaw Ridge?
Yeah, I did. I was impressed. I mean, it's a
did
very
you like
powerful
La La Land?
Movie. I did not particularly like La La Land.
You're with me.
If I could pick the Best Picture winner.
You're going to say Moonlight, right?
It would be Moonlight.
Moonlight.
Moonlight,
okay.
Or Manchester by the Sea.
Uh-huh. You know, I'm sorry, Manchester by the Sea, it was really depressing. And I know everyone said that. I just, you know, it was okay. I was engaged, but I'm not sure I would be thrilled about that winning it. I have to see Moonlight, though. We're going to move on to actress in a leading role. So we have Elle Isabel Huppert. No, how do you pronounce her name?
That's pretty good.
You sound pretty French.
Yeah. Ruth Negga. Natalie Portman. Does that sound Israeli? Natalie Portman. Emma Stone. And Viggo Mortensen.
That's who Meryl Streep
is. I'm sure Simon was happy when I said Meryl Streep was Viggo Mortensen. Actress in a leading role, Kevin.
Right now, probably the favorite is still Emma Stone in your guys' beloved La La Land.
No. Insane. Over
she was
Ruth,
terrible.
Mega, and
no, Huppert.
Isabel Huppert?
Yeah.
She should win.
There's been a very strong late push for Isabel Huppert.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because her movie is probably by far the least seen by American audiences of any of the major of any of the movies nominated in the major categories. But obviously she's one of the most legendary actresses of all time. She's been in a million great French movies and is making a very strong late play.
You think there's a chance? Because I think she's going to win it. I really do.
I do think there's a chance. Yeah, I do. The Academy loves to honor, you know, actresses and actors who have not been honored for whatever reason in the past. And she is one of those people who the more you see her and the more you listen to her, the more you're like, oh, yeah, this person is like a legend. And Emma Stone will obviously get more chances to be a Best Actress winner. And then Natalie Portman, who earlier in the season was her and Emma Stone were the favorites. Yeah. She kind of faded just as Jackie didn't really get any momentum.
Mom, you saw Jackie. What did you think of that?
I did not care for it.
Another movie she didn't care for. She's tougher than Kenneth Turan.
What movies did she like?
Did you see Florence Jenkins? Did you see that one?
I did.
You did see that.
Okay, that was cute. I don't know. She's great. And
I enjoyed that one.
And she's great.
You told me you slept through Jackie because you said it was just so redundant and repetitive.
Yeah,
20th Century Women you slept through.
It was redundant. I mean, how many times can you look at the blood running down
Kennedy's face
in the car, and we went back to it again, and then no, I did
but Natalie
not.
Portman was good.
She was just good, a good
not
actress.
Not a winner in this category, but very good. Simon, Meryl Streep, if she wins, what are you going to do to your television?
Nothing, no, because I won't be watching it.
There you go.
Very easy.
He would very not wait. It's like if it was in your own backyard, you would not open the curtains.
No, really.
All right. Well, I know if she makes a speech, she's not going to win, by the way, but if she did, I don't think you would, or a number of people would enjoy the speech. Some people would applaud her.
I'd have a lot of fun with it on Monday.
Oh, you would?
Yeah.
You would have some material for your WHO radio show. Actor in a leading role, Casey Affleck. Let's be monotone. Hacksaw Ridge, La La Land, Captain Fantastic, which is kind of a cool movie, and Fences, which I haven't seen. I want to see. Kevin.
So this is a two-horse race. It's going to be either Casey Affleck or Denzel Washington. But it's really, it could be either one.
Please be Denzel Washington.
Wait. You don't think Ryan Gosling, the king of all of the award shows thus far? You have taken him out of the race?
He will be a vibrant presence at the award show itself,
what
I
about
think.
For Canadian content?
I mean, he's certainly the leading Canadian nominee. For
absolutely.
I don't think anybody could argue with that.
There you go. But tell us about Casey Affleck. Was he really acting, or is that just his personality in Manchester by the Sea?
Well, so Casey Affleck is the whole point of that performance, I think, was for him to play a guy who could not express his emotions. And so to that extent, he plays a very it's an understated performance. There are some moments where he kind of erupts, but the character itself is a pretty repressed guy who's trying not to feel anything, because as soon as he starts to feel things, it falls apart. It's kind of the opposite of Denzel Washington's performance in Fences, in which Denzel Washington essentially points a flamethrower at the scenery and just destroys everything in a way that very few other actors can. And he won at the SAG Awards, the Screen Actors Guild Awards, which are generally a pretty strong barometer of who's going to win actor, because they're being voted on by actors. But yeah, it's the two of them have been kind of the favorites for a while now. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I thought Viggo Mortensen was terrific in Captain Fantastic. Yeah. Again, a movie that probably not enough people have seen.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie, yeah.
Carrie, did you see Fences?
I didn't. Okay. I didn't see Fences.
So you can't between Denzel Washington and Casey Affleck.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Denzel. That's my feeling.
Good. Kevin?
I think ultimately it'll probably be Casey Affleck, but I would say Denzel has, if it's 51%, 49%.
And you're going with Hacksaw Ridge. I know that. Andrew Garfield.
I'm going with Denzel. I've never seen a Denzel movie I didn't love.
Yeah, I agree.
I hope it's him.
And Mom, I know you are not going with Ryan Gosling.
Sure not.
We'll leave it.
No votes for the Canadian.
No.
Sorry.
The fellow Canadian, you don't care.
I'm sorry. I'm a traitor.
If it was Gene Kelly, maybe you'd give some consideration.
I like Gene Kelly.
Yeah.
I like the old movies and the old musicals, and it was so nice to go to a movie and relax and enjoy the singing and the dancing.
Yep.
And just, you know, well, nice stuff.
Beauty and the Beast is going to be out soon, so that may be something you're looking forward to, Kevin. I know that.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see
most,
it.
Most people. He's beaming.
You too.
He's beaming.
We're all looking forward to that. It better be good. I'm going to think about taking my 3- and 4-year-old there.
Yes.
Actor in supporting role, we have Viola Davis, Naomi Harris, that's in Fences, of course, Moonlight, Naomi Harris, Lion, Nicole Kidman, which I didn't see, and I want to find out if I should see it or not.
You should see it.
Hidden Figures, Octavia Spencer, and Manchester, can you say that, Octavia Spencer, please, with your accent?
No, you just said it perfectly.
Thank you. Manchester by the Sea, Michelle Williams. Kevin.
Viola Davis will win this category.
Hands
it's like
down.
The most locked up of any of the major categories.
Well, she wins
and deservedly,
everything.
And deservedly so.
Whether or not it's deserved or not, as soon as she walks into that arena or that venue, she wins. It doesn't matter what movie it is. Carrie's nodding her head.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So tell me about Lion and Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman in Lion plays the adopted mother of Dev Patel's character, who goes in search of his birth mother in India. She gives a really a really good performance. She has to show a lot of pain because she has these two adopted children, one of whom is kind of withdrawing from her and the other is kind of has struggled with, you know, the difficult life that he had. And she I mean, Nicole Kidman is a great actress, and I think she does a very good job of grounding that movie.
Is it tough to ground? Like, is it a movie that my mom would fall asleep in?
No, I think that's another one of those movies that it's a really good story. I mean, it's based on a real life story. It's a really good, powerful story about a kid going off in search of his birth mother and using Google Earth to find her, which is it's kind of this weird modern story too.
Yeah.
But it's very it's just a compelling story.
Yeah, no, I've heard and I want to see it. Yeah. I think you should see it, Mom. That would be a good
It's too modern for me.
It's too modern for you? How about Hidden Figures? We haven't talked about that. Is that too? You went to Hidden Figures. What happened?
The theater was closed or something happened. Yeah, I did.
They
I
were
was
showing
so
Hidden Figures. That's
they
what
were,
happened.
They closed.
In Palm Springs. Well, the fire alarm had gone off and they couldn't shut it off or something.
Oh, so you went
and
to see
Hidden Figures. Ridiculous.
And Simon was the only person who did not raise their eyebrows when she called it a theater.
No, absolutely not.
Because that's what you
were. It's really a cinema.
Cinema?
No, it's a theater for us Commonwealth folks.
I used to go to the cinema when I was a kid. Yeah.
I see my ma right here.
Oh,
oh, boy. All right, so I do want to continue on and see where we go from here in the actor and supporting role. We have Moonlight, Mahershala Ali.
Oh,
Muhammad Ali.
Mahershala Ali, yeah.
Muhammad Ali. Jeff Bridges in Hell or High Water, Manchester by the Sea, Lucas Hedges, Lion Dev Patel, and Nocturnal Animals, Michael Shannon.
Kevin. A lot of really good performances.
So good.
Mahershala Ali is the likeliest winner.
Right.
There's been kind of a late push for Dev Patel in Lion. It's an interesting role because he's really the lead, but he doesn't come in until later in the movie, so it qualifies as supporting actor.
We've seen that a lot, though,
yeah,
in
it's
history.
Yeah, category, quote-unquote category fraud is always kind of a – it's actually – this year there aren't any, egregious cases of it like there were with Alicia Vikander and The Danish Girl.
Well, what about in Syriana? Yeah, let's talk about 2005.
Let's go back.
Why? What's going on here?
Well, what did we do in the first half hour of this show? George Clooney, who played Bob Bear, who we had on this show a half an hour ago, won the actor in a supporting role. George Clooney won supporting role in Syriana. Just an example of taking a lead actor and giving him the supporting role. I do want to ask you about Hidden Figures really quickly because we only have a couple more minutes. I want to see it. I haven't seen it. This is a legal show. How do we connect the story in Hidden Figures to the law?
Oh, that's a good question.
What I'm here to do.
It's a true life story. It's a story of people who were pushed out of the limelight undeservedly and kind of denied the recognition that they deserved for their accomplishments. So I would imagine that they have some sort of case toward being compensated fairly for their place in history. So get some lawyers on it.
So they got a movie.
They got a movie.
So it's the beginning of the process.
People love it. We've got to close up our Academy Awards show, even though it's a week away. The Kings will bump us next week. I hope everyone enjoys the Academy Awards. Kevin, I want to thank you. You've given some great picks. I agree with most of them. We didn't talk about director, but we'll just give it to La La Land because we know.
Let's not do that. Let's take the high road here. First of all, I just have to say, I think you're one of my favorite movie critics of all time. The fact that somebody would come in here,
where did that come from?
Because everybody loves La La Land, and I can't believe that there's somebody finally who speaks the truth.
You made some points with Carrie. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see how your predictions do. Simon, as always, thank you for being on Gervie's Law. We really enjoyed it. And we like the way you beat up on Bob Bear, our guest.
Oh, no.
We have a guest who agrees to come on Gervie's Law. Simon comes from Iowa, 66 degrees, comes to the pouring rain, and just really has a great debate with Bob Bear.
Yeah, I just made him understand. Really.
You did. Yeah. Carrie, as but always.
I only came here because you said there was a date.
It's a date.
I'm still waiting.
You got a date with Carrie Kasem.
That's right. He's coming to my house to play game night.
There you go.
You guys have a lot of fun. Mom, thanks for being here. I know you're going back to Toronto on Tuesday. You'll be at Harper's birthday tomorrow with the ponies and the animals. And then you fly back to Toronto. We'll have to check in with you by telephone.
Okay.
Because you won't be here. You'll be in your home country and
city. And I listen to you every Saturday.
Oh, thank you.
In my home country.
In your home country. We appreciate you being here, and have a safe flight back. And thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thanks
for the last 2 months.
For 2 months.
Hunter, my son's name is Hudson. I just called him Hudson. Hunter. Hudson and Harper have loved having my mom here.
That's hilarious.
And next week, we're bumped. We're going to see you in 2 weeks right here on Gervie's